In here, we pour whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Yo.
What's the deal?
Welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I still love you. This is Gata, my man Gata. Bop, bop, bop. Yeah.
Hi, everybody out Yo, there. What's good?
Thanks for coming, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, bro.
Cheers to you on Whiskey Ginger, huh? Are you a whiskey drinker? Do you like whiskey or no?
I'm a casual drinker, so I just drink, you know,
whatever's around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know.
I like that. Whatever's around. Yeah. Whatever's nearby. Whatever's free and what's nearby. Gata and I met. Gata is an actor, a rapper, an artist, entrepreneur. What else? What other tags do you want to call yourself out for?
Man, I'm just a ghetto entrepreneur, man.
A gontrepreneur?
Yeah, I be gandering, wiggling, just making stuff happen, man. Just being positive.
So people got to know, Gata has his own language. Gandering and wiggling. Tell people what wiggling is.
Wiggling is just maneuvering, finessing, like just putting yourself in position. Like, let's go, let's do this. Like, just action. That's all it is, just action.
And gandering is?
Gandering is just applying some type of energy that allows you to manifest whatever it is you're trying to manifest at the moment.
Okay, gandering means like trying to put something together.
Yeah, like, you know, I just gander my way onto the whiskey and ginger.
Yeah, you did. Like, yeah, you're fucking right, you did. Gata and I met, we shot a pilot together for FX with our mutual friend Lil Dicky, and hopefully people will get to see that. I mean, who knows, you know, we'll see what happens. We don't want to tell anything else. But you also tour with Lil Dicky.
That's my man.
You rap
right there,
you
man.
Rap with him.
Yep, we perform together. That's my bro, man. He's one of the best people in my life, man. He's just always killing it, always positive, always funny. That's my brother.
He's
right
the
there.
Shit. For people that don't know, look up Lil Dicky. He's the best, man. I mean, most
professional
people, I feel
rapper,
like, are aware.
Comedian.
He's everything. Yeah, he's another entrepreneur that does a million different things. He's trying to make a show, a TV show. You know, he has a brand of himself that's outside of rap. Like, he's pretty dynamic, you know?
Man.
Yeah, and that's what we're all trying to do at some degree, right?
All trying to make it.
Right. How did you meet Lil Dicky?
Gandering.
I was just playing.
No, listen, I low-key met him because I was already in the business, in the music world. I was touring already for several years and always just connecting with different artists. And we had a mutual friend, business partner, his dude's name Anthony Martini, mm-hmm. which is one of his managers. You know how the game goes. So he just basically just introduced me to him, and we here on
right.
the Whiskey and Ginger Show.
That's exactly fucking right. There you go.
Yeah,
you were born and raised in LA, right?
Yeah, South Central.
Yeah, in Compton.
Nah,
nearby.
Nearby, like probably like
that's what white people do. We just assume it's always Compton.
It's pretty close though. So
yeah. White people just go South Central? Compton, right? Yeah, we don't know anything else.
And yeah, I grew up in LA.
You grew up in South Central Los Angeles, mm-hmm. And when we shot part of the pilot, because we can talk about that, that's fine. We shot part of the pilot in South Central, and we were near your neighborhood. Were we near where you grew up?
Yeah, we were.
Relatively close,
yeah,
right?
Relatively close.
Yeah, because you seemed like you knew people.
Yeah, like that whole street, like people went to high school with me on that street. Like, it was crazy to see people out there, and I'm like, damn, like.
Were people jealous? Could you tell, was there a little bit of, is there people that throw you shade that you grew up with, they see that you're successful now?
Yeah. People be throwing shade, but when people throw me shade, I just sit back and, you know, dwell in it and sip and just chill and just be myself. Because at the end of the day, I signed up for this. And if
right.
I'm not throwing you shade, then you're not.
You're not doing it right.
Yeah, you're not doing
it right. That's what they say. That's what they say. There's going to be a hater. There's bound to be a hater as long as you're doing well. If you're doing dog shit, there's probably no one that's going to dislike you.
Exactly.
They feel bad for you if you're like, oh, he's garbage as fuck.
Exactly.
I don't feel bad for him at that point.
Exactly. I like the hate, though.
Yeah, you do. You like hate?
Yeah, I embrace it, man, because at the end of the day, hate is really love.
Right.
They hate you.
Because they love you.
Yeah.
Right. The only reason that they're shitting on you is because they like all your shit.
Yeah, period. It is like they want you to be a certain way, but you end up being the way that they feel that you shouldn't be.
It's almost like your haters are your best critics. They just want to watch all your stuff because they really want you to be the best version of what they think you are. So it's really kind of a creepy fucking like latching onto you. Like they really want you to be this thing. And so they just want to shit on you because they don't get to do whatever it is you're doing. You know?
It's cool though because haters, you know, they love you, man. They inspire you.
Yeah.
Well, it motivate me too at the same time.
To get further away from those motherfuckers.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to keep going and get away from them. So you and I met... through Dave, I actually saw, through Dickie, I saw you guys perform in Vegas. That was fucking wild over New Year's. Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was
so fun.
It was tight bringing in the New Year.
Yeah,
you,
it was, man. That was great.
Tight,
man. That was amazing. That was my first time doing it like that in Vegas and all that shit.
Yeah, I felt like, damn, I'm here with professional people that I really like, you know, work with, celebrating like something, bringing in a new year. Like, we got new goals. Like,
it was dope. It was a bummer that one of the dudes that we were with just couldn't make it. You know, Mike couldn't last through the night. It wasn't going to happen. Yeah. He was too tired, man. I think he had partied way too much. He had too much of everything a couple of nights before, and he was like, I'm out, man. There's no fucking way I can do it.
He used to it, though. So.
Yeah.
That's why he'd be over
lives
it.
That life.
He's like, hey, I want the check, and I'm going.
That's right. Take the check and go home. This is my favorite part about Gaeta. Now, Gaeta came with some friends. There's friends in here in the studio. That's my favorite thing. Every black dude I know always brings a couple of friends. White people travel alone. Why do black dudes always love to bring homies?
We got trust issues.
Yeah, you know, that's what it is.
I can't be lingering out here by myself, you know? Like I said, like you said, we got haters, you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, that's exactly.
I always
got to
have somebody watching my back, man, you know?
What if this was like a setup? That's what you're like, I love Santino, I trust him, but man. What if
this was a setup for greatness.
Yes, that's right.
I just like to bring people with me just to, you know.
For the vibes.
Yeah, for the vibes, the energy, like whether it be me bringing people to inspire them or motivate them or whatever it is. Like, I just like having people around me. I'm a people's person.
Yeah. I think it's a cultural thing, though. I think black dudes have that. White dudes are just lonely guys. White dudes, like, if I have to go to a thing, I'm probably going to go alone just because I'm nervous they'll get mad that I brought somebody. But then you get there and they're like, no, you can bring as many people as you want.
Yeah.
No one cares. It's just.
It's a part of my culture, though.
It is a culture thing.
It's a culture thing.
Yeah, it's a culture
thing. And then at the end of the day, it's like, even if these cameras wasn't here, I would more likely either probably be with my homies, be with my girl.
So bring them along.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you might as well.
You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I look at it like this. Like, if I'm on this journey, who's better to see it than the people that are with me on a daily, whether it's lights around.
That's beautiful.
No lights around. Like, I just like to share my life. You know?
That's wonderful. You're going to look back and smile. I'm going to look back and be like, no one was there, man. What the fuck was I doing? Yo, so when did you start? When did you start really getting into the music business, into rap or performing, or like what age were you that you really got it going?
I really got it going after I dropped out of Santa Monica College. I was working with a local LA artist named Tyga, and we just went on tour and we followed our dreams and we made a lot of great connections. And ever since then, I've been trying to do music and have been doing music professionally, like just doing shows, you know, popping up, doing features, going to the club, like just really using that major artist mindset and using it to my advantage and just using it through the experience. But that's when I took it serious, though. Probably like when I was dropped out of college.
When you dropped out? What was your major in college?
Business.
Yeah, whatever, some bullshit.
Yeah, whatever the fuck it was. Yeah, at the end of the day, I was like.
How long did you go to college for?
Man.
An hour and a half?
Yeah, dude.
You were in and out.
Yeah, it was like, I was at college for the wrong reasons. Like, a black kid from an urban area. High school, going to a college that he's never been to, even though it was a local city college, just like all these different people, all these different girls. My mind was gone.
Was it too many white people? Is that what it was? A lot of whites out there in Santa Monica.
It is, man. But I love y'all white people, though, man. I love the way y'all think, man. I love y'all energy. I love the way y'all party.
Some of us.
I just love people. Yeah. Some
of y'all. Yeah. Some white people you just can't trust.
Yeah. Like Trump.
Yeah, you shouldn't. So you went to Santa Monica College, and then as soon as you got out, did you start touring with Tyga and you guys went on the road and you were performing?
Yeah, we went on the road. And
did you meet him?
Nah, I met him in L.A. I didn't meet him in college. I met him in L.A.
Just around.
In the city, We just had mutual friends. We both did music. We both believed in the same things, which is grinding every day, getting every dollar, getting educated daily. Shout out GED. That's my brand forever. Yep. So, like, we just believed in the same things, and we just took a path together and made
a lot
of
close
connections. Nah, we not close. We not close at all, to be honest. At the end of the day, it's just like, that's what the music business does to you. It gives you relationships.
Yeah.
And it changes relationships.
Was there something that happened? Was there
beef? That's the thing. Like,
nothing really happened?
Yeah, it was never really nothing that happened. It's just, you know, I'm doing me, he's doing him.
Sure.
And I never know really what it was, but at the same time, it's just like, hey, I appreciate everything he did for me. I appreciated all the opportunities that I got. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I made a lot of money. I made a lot of connections. And people still fuck with me. So at the end of the day, that's all I care about.
Yeah, that's like, fine. You know, as long as there was nothing that broke you guys up, that's fine.
Like, it was nothing. It was
no
never
big fallout.
No, yeah, it was no big fallout or nothing.
Right.
But at the end of the day,
But after you left, after you guys kind of split up and did your own thing, you kept doing your own thing alone until you got with Lil Dicky. And then now you guys are kind of touring together.
Yeah.
for as long as you want, I guess, as long as whenever you feel like giving up on that, you know? Do you want to go off on your own solo, or you like touring with him right now?
I like touring with him, but at the same time, I do a lot of solo things outside of LD, like sitting on the Whiskey Ginger couch with you.
That's exactly right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of other things that I do, but it's just all about timing and manifesting relationships and my ideas and bringing them out at the right time.
Have you put on an album?
Yeah, I put out one called Ghetto Brilliance. It's on Apple Music. Y'all need to check that out right now.
Ghetto Brilliance.
On iTunes, coming out with some new music. Check me out.
Ghetto Brilliance is your album. Mine would be called Suburbanite Kind of Intelligent.
I like that.
Yeah, Suburbanite Semi-Intelligent.
When you work on part two, make sure I get a verse in there.
Okay. You'll be the first feature I have.
I got a lot to say because I'm trying to move to the suburbs, man. Shout out all my white people.
I would love that if you moved to the suburbs. Come on out, man.
Yeah, for real.
Who's this fella? Excuse me, sir. You can't park on the lawn.
Hey, man. That's how I know I would be doing something right, man.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, when you coming up in South Central, like that, you are, I don't want to tell you, talk about your age or any of that stuff, but you kind of came up in South Central LA and kind of the mecca of when hip hop was being grown here, you know, right? Like when West Coast hip hop was kind of like exploding. So
And gangster rap too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like, man, at the exact same time, like West Coast hip hop, gangster rap was these like two worlds merging.
Man.
Was it hard, bro? Yeah, was it tough?
Yeah, it was tough. Especially like growing up with no father, you know what I'm saying? You seeing all the other kids with their happy family. Yeah. And you know, me, I'm just myself, mom and sis. Going to my basketball games,
right?
You know, staying focused, being in the house, watching cartoons, being on the computer, trying to like really find something to go after. Because you know, like I said, it was hard. A lot of followers, you know, when you ain't got no father figure, a lot of people tend to be followers. So a lot of people that I knew growing up were joining gangs and going to jail.
Did you ever fuck with gangs?
Hell no.
Never got with any of that stuff.
That's the thing though. I fuck with gangs, but on some like my homies from a gang. You know, it's never no like, hey, I'm from the gang. Nah. It would never be that because I can't claim something that I don't own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not about to be dying and going to jail for nothing that's not mine.
Right.
And these dudes are claiming streets and colors and stuff. It's like, man.
And you saw that your whole life as a kid.
Yeah,
that
I was saw normal it. Like, for you. It was easy for me, too, to make the decision to be who I am today because I'm like, this dude's a follower. He's following this dude just to go do this and do that and nothing's turning out good. People dying, people going to jail. Like, it's just like,
so you saw
it was easy
the shit
for me to make the decision to not be a follower and to just be a stand-up guy and to believe in what I believe in.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you came out clean on the other
came
side.
Came out clean.
When you go back to the neighborhood, though, is there a lot of respect? Because it's a big, it's like an ego to return,
it's
right?
It's a lot of respect because, like I said, I'm not a follower.
Right.
And the kids.
Because you did your own shit.
Yeah, the kids in the neighborhood, the OGs. People show me love because they know that's Gator. That's the kid that's on this. The kid that's trying to do that. The kid that want to be this. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, explain this to me though. In the rap world, this is the section called "Explain to the White Dude." Explain to the white dude in the rap world why, like, you know, Lil Wayne or Snoop or they claim Bloods or Crips, but are they really a part of them? How does that work? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know exactly.
They just have the respect from them.
I know exactly what you mean.
What is it?
For artists like Snoop, he really grew up in that environment.
Sure.
He really was from Long Beach, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Really a Crip, you know what I'm saying? So it's still in him. A lot of artists see the gangster image and want to be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody know that the gangbanging and all that started on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So anybody that's like trying to do that and they're in another region, it's like, are you really a part of it? Are you really following something? Or like, you know what I'm saying?
Because
I don't really get tied into it, but I just know that a lot of artists really do live that lifestyle, really grew up in that lifestyle, and a lot haven't. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But so you're saying like it doesn't leave them just because like he's out doing his thing, he's still a part of that world. So he has respect in that world.
They always say this: you could take the brother out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the brother.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
They say, well, you could take the white kid out of the suburbs, but he's still going to have a 401k.
Exactly.
That's what they say. It's the same shit.
It's the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
It's the same shit.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, I'm always curious about that because when I hear, I'm a big hip hop fan. Like I've always loved hip hop. And so for me, like, you know, it's blurred lines not coming from that world, not understanding when people would say like, I'm represent Bloods and you hear that on a record and you're like, but he's so famous. Like, wouldn't he get fucked up? Like, wouldn't they find him?
Yeah, he would get fucked up. But at the end of the day, like you said, he's so famous. So he got so much security.
They're protected.
He got so much protected. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. Living in a gated community. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the same as if...
The Crips of Bel-Air.
Like, it's not the same. It's like, to be honest, I'm going to just keep it all the way 1,000 for the forever. Ever since this ever started, man, gangbanging is lame. I'm sorry. Like, I know y'all might be mad. People might see this. And at the end of the day, I know it's a lifestyle, but...
It's not for you.
It's not for me, you know? And no disrespect to my homies and all that to do it and everything, but it's just lame. It's like, why? Like, man, take care of yourself. Take care of your kids. Grow up. Get some money, man.
But also, it's also because that's probably because you've grown up. So the younger mentality may be that that's like a survival tactic, or like maybe that's a way for them to progress or to get somewhere, right?
Survival? You survive?
I mean, in terms of what?
I know what you mean.
I mean, like, in terms of like getting on in a community and growing and just, and that's a thing to do. It's just like a thing to do to keep up.
It's just an excuse, man.
Right.
To me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I never did it. So.
Me neither, like, oddly just, enough.
I don't know, man. It's just everybody is their own person, you know? And I just know I'm not about to follow somebody down a path of negativity. Right. You know what I mean?
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah,
you know?
Not at all. No. Like, I mean, you keep focusing on music and keep progressing in that. And now listen, so we did this thing together. Was this the first time you've ever acted, that when we acted together? Or have you acted before?
I acted before.
Something like this, like in a scripted TV show?
It was, but you know. It was a pilot.
Right, sure.
You know what I'm saying? And then the person that was putting it together was against it. You know, once it all got said and done, thought it was corny. But, you know,
gone.
At the end of the day, I get another opportunity. So.
That's good. But it's funny because, you know, my perspective, I've been doing it for a little while. And, you know, you all get excited and you get a little bit nervous and you get a little bit anxious. Did it fuck you up on the first day? Were you nervous?
Yeah, it definitely did.
Yeah.
Because.
First day's tough.
You have all these cameras. All these people running around tending to you. It's like I've never felt it that way before, like that sense of urgency. You know what I mean? Like as far as needing
pressure?
To do something. Yeah, hell yeah.
A lot of pressure.
Pressure makes diamonds, you know?
Yeah.
And I just realized that it's a whole different ball game compared to TV versus music. Like the music world, when you show up at a venue, it's like, hey, the artist is here. Your champagne's in the back. Go sit down. Shut the fuck up till the show time. But with TV, it's like, the talent is here. Like, do you need anything at any given second? Right. Like,
they baby you a little bit.
Yeah, it's just way more. It's just a better feeling, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a better feeling.
It is good to get treated.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
But it's also like, you know that because all these people are around you supporting this machine, that you better not fuck up.
Yeah.
Right?
The pressure is hard. Yeah, the pressure is way intense.
Because you know that it's on your shoulders to deliver. Because if you don't, everybody knows.
Yeah, everybody knows.
Everybody knows. They're all watching you.
Yeah, all watching.
I mean, you did a great job. I'm not kissing your ass. You did a great job. I was thinking that for you in your shoes, you know, I was wondering what that felt like to be a part of this big kind of comedy production, this big pilot. And I know that's got to be hard because it was a lot of moving pieces and they changed tons of shit. They changed every day. Everything changed. So that's a tough thing, man. So like props to you for doing that. Because I think that's, you know, I've had a few musicians on the show and I think there's such a good connection between musicians and comedians. I'm going to keep having musicians on because I think like you experience some of the same shit we do. You know, like I saw the show in Vegas that you guys threw and it was pretty flawless in my opinion. Like I don't think there was any hiccups or anything like that, but I know that behind the scenes, there's all sorts of shit going on that people don't get to see.
Yeah,
you know, they don't get to see the time panic. You know, we were sitting there and the promoter was like, we got to go. People don't see that shit. They don't know that there's like a freak out, five different layers of people panicking. Meanwhile, the owner's kid's nephew wants to meet the talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so they have to take time to do that. And there's so many other parts that are moving that I think because of all that pressure in that world, that's how you have an easier transition in television or film because you kind of understand what it's like to be under the gun.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
A little bit, you know, it's not the exact same, but I think there's a lot of similar parallels in that, you know?
Yeah.
Do you, when you record, are you recording an album now?
Yeah, I'm working on stuff right now.
So when you work on stuff, do you like working alone or you like big collaborations?
I like working alone for the most part.
Yeah.
To start with, you know, to get my thoughts together.
Sure.
And then after I see what I'm getting out of what I'm recording, if I feel like somebody's needed on it, reach out to people, or if they're already in the environment with me, you know, that's how I like to collab. But I love collabing, but when I'm at the studio, I like to be in my zone.
You do. Yeah. Do you listen to other artists? Because, you know, people say they don't listen to other people because it influences their music. Do you listen to other music? Are you
I listen to other music.
Find it getting in your way sometimes of being creative?
Nah.
See, that's funny. Yeah, some people don't.
Number one, I'm not a follower.
Right. Okay.
I don't want to be like nobody else. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
so you work hard on not sounding like
sound like nobody else. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if people are using plugins and certain sound effects and all that and talking a certain way, using the same type of language, I'm going to stray away from that. You know what I mean?
So when you, like your language that you, which is, people don't really know at home, because when we were working together, it made me laugh so hard because you were, you know, talking how you talk and speaking your own language. There's Gaita tongue. I don't think people know there's Gaita tongue. So like wiggling and stuff, is that terminology you use with friends, or is it all you? That's what you...
Oh, I use it with my friends.
But I mean, you've made it up, or is it a part of like...
It's part of my community. Where I was,
people just say it.
People in my area where...
Give me some other fun terms, man.
Man, off the dribble. Like,
off the dribble.
Yeah, like it's a lot of stuff we say, dude.
That's like off the jump.
Yeah.
This is a good lesson.
Yeah, I got it.
This is like Big L's Ebonics. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, that song was great. Rest in peace, Big L, hip hop legend right there, man.
That song taught me so much. A hotel's a telly, a cell phone's a celly, jealous a jelly, your food box is your belly. I learned so much as a young white suburban kid when I heard all that shit. I was like getting updated on because I mean half of that stuff I'd heard in hip hop. When I was a kid, I didn't understand any of the fucking terms. And he was just like giving you a dictionary of street terms, which I thought was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But when we worked together, you would say shit and I would have no idea what you were saying because it was so your own language. It was like so your own.
Yeah, because it's
your
original,
own thing.
You
know
what I mean? It's original.
Yeah, like, it is.
And at the end of the day, it's about putting what you believe in and how you sound on the map. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm talking different or saying things, I'm basically representing for my area. You know what I'm saying? When I'm using words like gander and wiggle and all that type of stuff, I'm doing that and saying that because that's me. But basically, I'm putting on my neighborhood at the same time because just how you said, oh, I never heard that word before.
Right.
So we're going to get into it. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah, well, because I wanted to know so fucking bad. Yeah. When we shot it, one of the first times I saw you shoot, one of the scenes you were talking, there was a girl that passed you guys by and you were talking about,
man.
Yeah, and throwing game at her. And I thought that was so funny because I was like, you just kind of created your own little world that they didn't expect or didn't write, which I think was the most organic shit about the characters on the show, that they're trying to create the relationships. Cause I think it's hard to get right that world, right? Like being in a studio, there's a cheap way that TV can make people
look like they're cool together.
Yeah, it's an easy thing to make look bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I think they did a good job in what I saw of what you guys had done in the studio, because I don't know. You know what I mean? Like I don't know the lines of like how real or how bullshit. Like when you go to the studio, you know, you're with how many people are in there in a recording session at one time?
It'd be a lot.
Yeah, it's like that, right?
Like, it'd be a lot. You know what I mean? Like when you in the studio, it's just all about how you feeling. Like, do you want people or do you not want people? You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, when you're in those recording environments, you're usually going to be social. You know what I mean?
Like, you want that. Yeah. You want that environment.
I'm just the one that's really a loner though. Like me, I like to record with just a few heads or, you know what I mean? But for the most part, I'm pretty sure a lot of rappers' studio sessions be crowded or a lot of people.
Why do you think you're a loner when you record? You think that's just the way you've always been?
Yeah, because like I said, I done been in the music industry for so long and been passing through and seeing people and all that. It's just like, I really just really low key kind of like just keep to myself, and you know what I mean?
Because
it's just better that way when you keep the circle smaller. Because I always was the one to be the life of the party, have a gang of friends around me. And at the end of the day, but when you moving on and progressing in your career and doing things, you notice people start to like vanish or whatever their motives was.
Right.
You don't know what's on people's minds. So it's like, I really like to just stay by myself. Like I really don't like too many people around me. You know what I mean?
Right. Trust. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's trust. But it's just like, maybe I'm just afraid of heartbreak. That's probably what it is.
You're afraid of someone fucking you over.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're someone letting you down or fucking you over.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, so it's like, if I just keep it small, it's just, I can subtain that heartbreak because I already know the people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So if somebody in that small group does fuck you over, then you really can know how to get, then you really get fucking mad.
Yeah. You're
the only person I let in and you fucked me over.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. You breached the security.
What was your first taste of what you felt was like a success moment where you were like,
oh man,
like your
hands,
honor.
Hands down, three songs with Lil Wayne. That's all I gotta say. I got three songs with Lil Wayne. I'm not a major artist. He just embraced me in the studio, let's do music, let's work at the height of his career.
That's why.
That was success to me. That, like, for him just to be like, yo, I'm digging your energy that much. I want you to jump on these records with me. And I know you in here with such and such, but I want you on the record too.
Like, were you in the studio recording with someone else and he saw you and was like,
yeah, I was in there working with Tyga. And then I was just in there and we in there in Wayne's session and we working on stuff. He like, man, get on these songs. Like, what you do? Like, you just in the studio for no reason or what? And I'm like, nah, like, I'm here with him because I do this. And that's how it panned out. So a lot of people don't realize, like, to get that type of opportunity for free, that's success.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people pay for those type of collaborations.
Oh, yeah.
The record label got to call the manager for 5 weeks and get the clearance. And I'm just sitting here and just got it just like that. Like, it was crazy. Like,
do you still talk to Wayne?
Nah, I don't.
No.
Like, I ain't
but it was
lie.
But everything was good.
But look, this is the thing, though. The relationship that we had with him and the vibes and the energy, every time he see me to this day, is love.
Okay.
Yeah, like,
so
Wayne was, he had on my jewelry. He had on GED on his neck. Like, he can never forget. Like, that's one of the things. Like, every time he see me, it's always going to be love. I was in the club with Lil Dicky. We was in Live in Miami. Diddy was in the club. Jeezy was in there. And Lil Wayne. Wayne come through the VIP to go through the booth. Me and LD coming out the booth. Wayne see me. What's up? Like it was, like, he never, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like it was just the same day.
Yeah, like
just
in the studio earlier. We just recorded those songs 2 days ago.
Right.
You feel me? That's how the energy is, the impact. Like, people respect you when you a cool person, you know? So
right.
It's like, that's all it is.
Well, the community stays tight because I think, I mean, everyone in there knows once you work with somebody and you have respect for them, you may not see them for a long time. And that's the shit that happens in comedy, by the way. I don't see people that I've worked with for years and then I run into them and it's like I never left them, you know?
I got to come check out one of your stand-ups.
Yeah, you got to come.
By the way.
Yeah, you got to come out, man. Let's go. Come the fuck out before I go back out on the road. But I think it's wild to me because, like, everyone's level of success is different. You know how it's measured. Some people, it's just a monetary thing. Some people, it's a moment, you know?
I got another level of success.
Yeah, okay, give it to me.
More recent, too.
Yeah.
Working with you on the thing, man. With you, like, with all the cameras around, you know? Like, even though it hasn't all the way, boom, like, it's not, you know what I mean? But I still feel successful in my own right.
Because of that moment.
Yeah, because I've never done that before. Never got that, you know what I'm saying, opportunity to be in a position like that. And be able to just say that this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm attempting. This is what I'm working on.
Right.
This is what I'm getting paid for. Like, that's success to me. Because at the end of the day, I'm from South Central, man. Shit is hard. Like,
yeah, you made it.
Yeah, like, shit is crazy, man. Like, just to even be here, like, I was just anxious about this all day. Because it might be small to other people, but at the end of the day, it's like, this is going to be my goal. This is going to be my vision. This is just going to make me feel successful. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So it's all about the small things. You know?
Right.
So whatever's small to certain people might be big to the next.
Right. Do you feel like, you know, there's always an old adage of, like, when people come up and they make it, like, do you think it's normal to take people with you? And do you think, like, on your ascension or on your rise, you have to take people with you? You know, because there's people that say, like, I'll never not take people with me from, you know, who I grew up with. Do you still hang out with people you grew up with and you're willing to take them along for the whole ride?
I hang out with people that I grew up with, but I know and I'm aware and I know how to read people, you know?
Right.
I know who got their mind right, you know what I'm saying? It's about having your mind right, you know what I'm saying? If you're on the same path as me and if you got the same beliefs as me, then I don't have a problem with showing you stuff and bringing you around and helping you get your dreams accomplished.
Right.
As far as taking along, it's like, you really got to be day in and day out like I am with this shit. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be, like, selling yourself short for something when you really need to be focused on your dream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
So as far as taking people along, it's all about being worthy. It's all about being hard work. You know what I'm saying?
As long as they put in the effort, then they're going to come along.
Yeah, put in the effort, man, and just be pure and stay true to yourself and just believe in what you believe in. You know
that's a part of hip-hop culture, though, too, is bringing people along. I mean, I feel like that's, like, you know, the real, like, quiet loners you see, a lot of musicians, they don't want anybody around them ever. And part of hip-hop culture, I think, like, it lasts because it keeps circulating. Everyone keeps rising
up
together.
That's how you keep your brand strong. That's how you keep...
Bread is money, white kids.
Yeah, and that's how you keep things going, like, by putting people in position to help you elevate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just for example, like, me being LD's boy and working with him and stuff, it's like, if I'm shining, he's shining. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that's more so how it really works. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
If you've got a protege that's a comedian or something and you like, yo, I think you'll be good in this market over here doing stand up over here. It's like you're really low key looking out for him on some like, man, that's my boy. You know what I'm saying? So that's
trying to get him success. Yeah.
That's what it's about. Cause when other people around you look good too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that's what it's about, you know?
Of course.
And at the end of the day, it's just about knowing that everything that people want and obtain, money, fame, everybody want the most craziest, bizarre things. I just feel like if you're in a position to share it and show people and teach people, why not?
Why not?
You know what I'm saying?
If you get a really, really big check, what's the first dumb fucking thing you're going to buy? What's the dumbest shit you're going to buy?
I didn't already bought a lot of dumb shit.
Name some dumb ass shit that you bought.
I bought a Rolex.
Dumb
to buy a Rolex.
Yeah.
But I still bought it.
Whatever.
Like, I bought a lot of shit.
I spent
hella money on sunglasses. Probably like $8,000 on sunglasses. Like, I didn't bought a lot of dumb shit. But the first big thing I'm going to buy is my mom's house.
Your mom's. That's not dumb, though. That's a good investment.
Yeah.
That's probably the smartest thing you can buy.
But that's the thing. Like,
that's
already,
a good buy.
I said all the dumb shit. Like,
yes.
You feel me? Like, I'm tired of blowing money. At
right.
this point, like,
so you're over it.
Yeah, I'm over it. Like, at the end of the day, it's like I said, I blew money on a Rolex, like, blowing money on just dumb shit. Like,
Do you spend money on girls too?
Yeah, dude. I don't even want to get into that. Yeah, man.
How much money do you think you spend on women, on like traveling around and partying with them and all that stuff?
See,
too much.
It's just, man, I like to do it because of the fun, the relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the moment.
But do you ever waste money with a girl that you're like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I took her to this place and spent all this money and flew her to this thing. And
yeah,
took her
I do that all the time. I do that, man. But at the end of the day, I look at it as a learning experience and I look at it like,
yeah, you
not
don't, you
more
won't do
so it again. I waste it. I just look at it like, you know what? I showed you something that you couldn't do for yourself. So you're always going to look to me and remember me for that.
You're a provider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
I look at it like that. It's just an experience, you know.
You sure?
So
the dumb shit in your life is over, though. You don't want to buy dumb shit anymore.
Yeah,
you
want to
keep it more straight.
Man, I done did so much dumb stuff with money, dude. Like, and what's so crazy is like, this is early too. So it's like, I'm already done learning shit. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
a good thing to get it out of the fucking way.
Yeah, like I done got it out the way. Like,
right.
I done spent like $20,000 in like, probably like, a month or two. So it's like, that's dumb. You know what I mean?
Well, it depends on what you're... I mean, everyone's like going to live their life differently. It depends on how you want to experience
life.
Yeah,
you know? And to, like, you know,
you could just be dead tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
so whatever.
I just want to make better decisions, man. That's
I got
all.
It.
And not even...
2019.
It's not even I just want to. I am going to make better decisions.
There we go.
And I want to say that out loud to you. I'm making better decisions with this buddy.
This is like this Dr. Phil now. We're going to be making better decisions with our money in 2019. Right, Gata?
Yes, we are. Everybody.
That's okay, though. I mean, sometimes when you get a big check, it's kind of hard to not feel like you want to do something fucking dumb with it. Like, I remember the first couple of checks that I had gotten in the business.
Hold on, wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm able to hear and sit here. Sorry, it's the whiskey got me on.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm sitting here talking about checks.
Yeah.
You, man.
Yeah, that's
like,
great,
like
right?
Big checks, yo. Like,
yeah. I hope we get a million more.
That's what I'm saying. That's
but it's
dumb.
But it teaches you stuff. Like I got the first big check I got. I bought my parents a iMac desktop computer. And I remember thinking I spent a ton. They're not cheap, but like it wasn't a ton of money. It was just I wanted to buy them a computer because I was like, I want to buy them a house computer.
That was nice, if you ask me.
No, I bought that shit. You know what's so funny though? As soon as I took it home, my dad was like, where's the base? Where's the thing that goes on the floor? I was like, oh, no, it's all in the screen. It's all on the screen.
You should have told him, hey, dad, this that new money.
Yeah. He didn't want to hear it. He's like, I don't fucking like this thing. Get this bullshit out of here. Where are the cords? He wanted to know where the wires were. Where are the fucking wires? So I was like, that's the best part about this shit. He didn't even like it, but you know. But I do think like sometimes you get when you make certain achievements, you have to spoil yourself a little bit because it's too easy in the business to kind of just go, okay, I got to just on to the next one and not appreciate kind of some of the shit that's happening right now. That's like, important, you know?
Exactly. That's why blowing that money and spending money the way I have and did before, I appreciate it because it's like
every time
I get more money and more opportunities, it just makes me sit there and think like, yeah, you know how to work and do stuff and obtain money and, you know, be in a cool position, but it's about staying in that position.
Right.
So it's like, that's what I learn every time I spend money. It's like, you want to stay here, don't you?
Right.
You want to stay here and play with this buddy forever, don't you?
Don't slip out. Like, right, right. Yeah, like, keep it together.
Keep it together.
Keep it to fucking together.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you're a casual drinker. I know that, right? You're not a big drinker.
Nah.
But you like to smoke.
Yeah, I like to smoke.
But like, when did you have your first drink? It's something we talk about on the show. Do you remember when you had your first drink as a kid? How old were you?
To be honest, I was probably like 17 or 18.
17, yeah. High school?
Yeah, and I got really fucked up too.
Do you remember it? Do you remember you taking your first drink?
Yes, I threw up and lied to my mom. Like, she saw me in the bed, like in the morning with hella throw up everywhere. It was like crazy. Like, rest in peace, Jimi Hendrix. It was like a scene like that. Like, throw up everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, my mom said I could have choked. I told her it was a bad milkshake.
It was a bad milkshake.
Yeah, I told my mom it was a bad milkshake.
Bad milkshake from Rallies.
But ever since that moment when I threw up in my sleep and I seen how my mom and them was on it, like, yo, you can't be drinking like that. And then I passed out before in Chicago in the lobby off of like vodka, blacked out. That's what made me realize, like, yo, drinking's not for me.
Yeah, you.
Because I don't get how people can black out and then say, hey, next week I'm going to do it again. Like,
right.
Like, I'm just like, I can't do it. It's like, not knowing what's going
white,
on.
White people
not
love
cool.
to black out. We love that shit. That's
yeah,
like that's
it's
like our
crazy.
Thing. Yeah. I think.
By the way, Lil Dicky is a professional bar hopper. Everyone.
Yeah, he
professional
is.
Bar hopper.
He's the best
like,
at
he,
it.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah,
at
he
it.
Is.
Like I can't hang with that guy.
No. When did you start smoking?
Shit, like 14.
14.
Yeah, like 14.
Damn, that's young.
Yeah, 14, man.
And are you every day? Are you an everyday smoker?
Yeah, everyday smoker.
How many times a day do you think? All day.
I wouldn't say all day because, you know, nowadays I got things to do. I be on shoots. I be on sets. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I can't just smoke all day long, but I be smoking a lot though.
You smoke when you need it.
Yeah. Right? I need it a lot.
If you needed to put it away, if someone's like, you can't smoke for the next week, could you do it or would you have trouble?
I'll be able to do it.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll just leave back and just.
When we link up for the show,
yeah.
I'm gonna make a bet to see if we can do it for a week.
I would be able to do it.
All right.
I would be able
okay.
to.
Okay.
Trust me.
You don't get high and I won't have a drink and we'll see if we can both do it. I might not make it. I don't know if I can go a week. I might fucking need it. After long ass days, I probably will need it. I don't know. I smoke too, but I don't really, you know, I started getting high when I was, I don't know, like 15 or 16, I think was the first time I ever
smoking isn't for everybody though.
No, yeah, it's true. But
I've
slowed
down. Some people turn into different people.
I did it so much when I was young. I think I slowed down. What was the first time you got high? Do you remember when you first got high?
I remember the exact moment I got high.
Yeah.
The street I was on.
Go ahead.
The house I was at. I was with my two best friends. One of them are, matter of fact, they still my two good friends too. Eugene Walker and Donzel Thompson.
We're calling out full names,
yeah,
full legal names.
We was smoking weed at my boy's house on like 50th and like Hoover. We in the back, we on the roof, smoking, and I'm high as hell. And I just kept tripping like, yo, I can't believe we're sitting up here on the roof.
You were on the roof of his house getting high?
Yeah, it was crazy.
You could have just stayed on the ground. Why'd you need to get on the fucking roof?
Because he wanted to hide from his mom.
Oh, okay. Just take a walk around the fucking block.
He gonna go on the roof. It was crazy.
Was it hard to get off the bitch when you got high? You were like, now we're on the fuck. How we get down off the fucking roof?
It was crazy. I was just too stoned. And we were just up there just laughing. And then I was kind of like scared. It was a cool moment though. But it was just like, I'm always going to remember that day.
From that on, were you like, I want to do this
all the time? When I was high, I was really up high.
Yeah. I was high.
Yeah, like that was my first time smoking weed too.
My first time was in a friend's bathroom in their house. So stupid in his parents' house. We were blowing it through the vent. But you know, the vents go all through the fucking house. We're thinking it's going to go outside. They're fucking idiots.
Oh,
of course
man.
His parents smelled that shit. And the next ensuing times, I smoked through a pop can. You know those days? You know about that shit?
Yeah, I know.
Fold
people,
a pop can and punch
crazy.
The shit.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's
people,
so stupid.
People used to smoke out of apples, too.
Yeah, we would do that. Any object we could find to get high. Because we didn't have access to pipes and bowls and all that shit when we first started getting high. Now the technology is insane. Do you do dabs? Do you dab and all that shit?
Yeah, I like dabbing. I'll be hitting my little dab. But
does that fuck you up? That fucks me up so bad. I did it one time.
Yeah, that waxing, all that contra shit.
I couldn't even fucking walk.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But I also want to say this. I'm 7 months strong, y'all. No cigarettes.
Oh, that's great.
Shout out to my Juul.
Wait, so 7 months you haven't had a cigarette?
7 months I ain't smoked a cigarette.
The Juul is keeping you off cigarettes?
Yeah,
the
Juul.
You got it right now? You can hit it if you need to hit it.
Let me see if I got it on me. I do have it on me somewhere.
How many of those do you go through the Juul things? Do you go through a shitload of the pods or whatever?
Man, I went through so many Juuls. I lose them all the time. my boy gets mad at me. He's like, dude, you always losing that damn jewel, man. You might as well go back to smoking cigarettes.
But it's good to keep you off of cigarettes. That's fine. How many years did you smoke for?
Man, probably like 4 or 5 years.
5 years you were smoking cigarettes? What was your cigarette of choice?
Damn, I probably left it in the car.
That's all right.
My cigarette of choice was Newport Short.
Newport Short.
Yeah, Newport Short, man.
Why? What, are they just smaller cigarettes, easier to smoke?
Menthol. I don't know.
Yeah, I know they're menthol. Just
seen everybody with them.
It was just part of the thing.
Yeah, kind of like a social thing. Let me get a port. Let me get a short.
Right. Okay. A Newport Short.
Yep.
Oh, I smoked for a little while, but it was like whatever.
I'm so glad I don't smoke cigarettes, though.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And it's just like the females that the option are just, they're more beautiful now, like when you don't smoke cigarettes.
Right.
Like, you get like more beautiful females.
A lot of girls don't like it when you smoke. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's good that you're off. The Juul, but do you feel like you're smoking more Juuls than you did cigarettes? Like, would you smoke a pack a day?
Probably like every a day or two, yeah. A pack a day.
And how many Juuls, like those little pod things, how many cigarettes are in there?
A whole pack.
And how many do you go through those at least one a day?
Nah.
No, really?
A pod will last like a day and a half.
That's pretty good. So that's less.
Yeah, it's less.
Making improvements, man.
Improvements, yeah, man. That's what strong. It's about, man. We got to grow.
Tell me, I got to know, because you have tattoos on your face. You have a few tattoos on your face, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So in the hip hop world, in the rap culture now, a lot of people have tattoos on their face. Yeah. And it's like a new fucking trend, you know?
Yeah. I've been tatted, though.
You've had it for a long time, right?
I've been tatted. Man, I've been doing this. Like, I've been tatted. Like, that's the thing. Like, I was tatted before it was cool. I was wearing tight pants before it was cool.
You were ahead of the game.
I was just, yeah, like.
Well, how old were you when you got this on your forehead? How many years ago was that?
I was probably like 15. I'm lying like a motherfucker. My first tattoo, I was like 16, 17. Mm-hmm. When I got this, I was probably like in my 20s. I was definitely when I got my head tatted, I already had my fingers and all of this stuff done. So I'm just all in.
That shit didn't hurt?
Nah, this didn't hurt. The head didn't hurt. I'm not even gonna lie. The fingers hurt the most.
The fingers hurt?
Yeah, the fingers hurt. Oh my God.
Are you ever gonna get any removed? Do you want them all forever?
Well, now that I'm acting, you know, I might have to, you know, get some removed one
that
day.
That shit getting removed might hurt.
Just to do, you know, a greater role, you know what I'm saying? Just to be in a better position, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah,
the
that's
money
true.
Might be different to where you won't even be able to tell I had a tattoo if it was laser removed. You wouldn't even be able to, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes I see people with laser work and it's like, oh, it looks kind of bad. The removal.
I've seen some of them that look real bad.
Yeah, but the reason why I got tatted, though, was to just stay me.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have to change.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's
true.
And it was for the motivation to make it. You know what I mean? Like, because once I got tatted, I'm like, hold on. No job's just about to let me do whatever I want and take this opportunity and work for this company and represent them looking like this. So when I got the tats, I put the pressure on myself.
To make sure you're all in,
you know? Like, to make sure that I'm sitting on the couch with you, making it to this interview.
There we go.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, what's the next goal for you? What do you think, like, what's the next jump for you? Like, what's your final goal, but what's the next thing that you feel like you want to achieve in your career?
The next thing I want to do is open a business and invest in more things that are going to help me in the long run. You know, instead of just relying on opportunities that are, like, predictable. Like, me doing some music or something, or me working or filming or putting out a music video. It's like, that's what's expected, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to do something that is really going to, like, be substantial to me and my family, that's going to mean something, you know?
Right.
At the end of the day, the music and this and all that, yeah, it's fun. It's a dream. It's cool. Yeah, you can make a living, but it's about keeping something afloat, keeping something going forever, you know? So I want to just think something that's going to last forever.
Right.
That's all I'm trying to really figure
Because almost
out.
Nothing does. So you got to find something good.
Yeah, I'm trying to find something that's going to last for a couple generations.
Right.
And it's going to take more than rapping.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Most likely.
Yeah.
Well, because those moments are great when you're on the road and you're having a good time, but, you know, they're fleeting. You know, like, I'm sure, I mean, you probably have stories of the road of great
Man,
fucking parties.
Man, the road is crazy. The road is so crazy that the first time I got on the road, a rock star told me that tour stands for traveling out using rubbers.
Wait, what is it? Travel?
Tour stands for traveling out using rubbers.
Traveling out using rubbers.
Yes.
Okay.
That was my first day on tour.
Always wrap it up is what they're trying to say.
yeah, always wrap it up.
Yeah, don't go raw. Not on tour. Good God. Good God. Do you have any crazy tour stories that you want to share? Like, if you've had some shit go down that you, some wild
Man.
Shit that you can tell maybe?
I remember a couple years ago, a fan like came back to the hotel with us.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother was like just like following us the whole entire time. Like,
so she was a fan that was trying to become a better friend.
Yeah.
And her brother was hanging out.
Yeah. She was a fan with a plan.
Her brother was like, I want to watch what the fuck.
Her brother, guess he was trying to get his sis back or whatever. Like, he wasn't having it. He was like high speed chase, like
really
being followed the whole time.
And like, when he finally caught up to you, what was it? He was like, you got to come back with me. You're not going out.
By
with
the
guys.
Time he caught up with us, honestly, she was already used already and done. Like, he was just like waiting in the lobby looking hot.
Yeah.
Just like,
she wanted a party. He wasn't. Why was she with her brother out at night?
I don't know.
Going
man.
To shows.
The people are crazy. Like, people will come up to you like, yo, my sister thinks you're hot. Like, take us all backstage.
That's real weird, dude.
Like, people.
That's weird to pawn off your sister to get backstage.
Yeah, like, people will offer their sister up like, yeah, my sister think you guys are the shit. Like, yeah, like.
That's so fucking
weird.
Let's
all back there.
That is weird. Have you ever had like a stalker? Have you ever had a stalker follow you and shit?
Nah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Stalkers are fucking real, man.
They are. I believe you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I know that have a lot of stalkers that I know people that have to change their names.
I can't wait till I get to that level, though.
Really?
That'd be dope.
Maybe, man. I don't know. To have someone that stalks you is a little creepy to me. Fans are great.
Yeah.
But people that are like incessantly all about you all the time, I think that's something.
But it's like, that's
off.
How you know you really reached a real level, though. Like,
I guess, yeah.
Like Versace?
True. Yeah, Versace.
John
Versace.
Lennon?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Stalkers. People wanted to kill him. Yeah. I just don't want to be killed by fans. That's
I don't either, but I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind taking over somebody's mind like that.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's like, it might sound demonic, it might sound crazy, but it's like, dude, you love me that much.
Yeah. I guess that's why.
I would be like excited about it, but I would more so be like, damn, like I impacted this person that much that they want to just stalk me. Like,
yeah, well.
That's what fame is.
Yeah, like, that's a different mentality. It's easier for a guy, I guess. It's easier for us to have stalkers. When chicks have stalkers, it's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Then it's fucking creepy.
Yeah.
You have a dude stalker on a dude. It's kind of like,
shit,
you know.
If it's a dude out there stalking me or wants to stalk me, hey.
Bring it on.
Stalk away. Like,
you heard it here first, man. Get to
like,
stalking.
Stalk away, man. For real.
That's true. I guess it's
that means
it's
I'm the shit.
Yeah, I guess it's a part of love.
Like, yeah like.
Who's the one artist that you feel like you want to work with before you get out of the business? Like, before you're done making music, who's somebody you want or you really want to make music with? That you or that you like have tried to.
I
want to
do something with Anthony Hamilton because I know my mom is a huge fan of Anthony Hamilton.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't mind doing something like
that's
that.
More for her. What is it for you, though? Who's the person for you that you're like, I would love to do something with that? Like, who do you kind of, maybe not admire, but who do you appreciate as an artist that you wish you could work with?
There's a lot of artists I appreciate. I would love to work with, let's see. To be honest, man.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to use this platform to shout out anybody out there.
No, it's fine.
With,
I mean, listen, know? I just think it's.
I would love to work with a lot of artists, but it's just like,
if you get there,
I'm
you
so
get
wrapped
there.
Up in myself and what I got going on. It's like, I don't even have time to really, you know?
Yeah.
It's just.
I get that.
You know what I mean?
I get
it's
that.
Like,
you're being
if
humble.
If it happens, it happens, you know?
Sure. Like, sure.
I don't really wish anymore.
Have you worked with someone that you regret you work with? Was
no.
there some, you've never worked with somebody where you're like, nah, I wish I never did that?
Nope.
That's good.
Never, ever.
That's huge.
Because everybody I work with, I like. And
yeah.
And they believe me. Most times I work with people, if I really don't want to work with them, it's never really going to be like that because I always oversee things and look at things, listen to things,
yeah.
Do my research. So I've never really been in a position to where I don't really want to work with somebody. But it might be different in the movie world or the...
Yeah,
you know
it's,
what
a,
I'm
lot, it's like, a lot different then.
Yeah, like...
Because you have less choice over who you work with sometimes, you
yeah.
know? A lot of times you just have to keep moving and you get on different things and you work with people that you like and sometimes you end up working with people that are assholes and you just don't have a choice, you know? You just have to... keep pushing through it, you know? But who influenced you or who influences you now in hip hop? Not that you want to work with, different question. Like who is somebody that when you were growing up that you loved, that you were like, man, that's that.
I love Lil Wayne.
Yeah, Lil Wayne was always, and
yeah,
you got to work
dope.
With him. So that's fucking incredible.
So it's like, that's how I feel like. I feel like I worked with one of the best artists already. So it's like
period.
Everybody else to me is just like, it's just listening to him for fun. You know, I'm not
right.
really like more so like a fan. I like Future, I like Drake, I like Kendrick. I like a lot of artists, but at the same time, it's like a lot of these people sound the same these days.
So sure.
It's like hard to really fall in love with artists. That's why, like, when I heard Dickie and met him for the first time, it's like, wow, this is a breath of fresh air. It's
super
like,
different.
He's not trying to be like
right
anybody else. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's why it's really hard for me to say, like, who do I want to work with? Because I be feeling like everybody's just copying everybody, you know?
Yeah, everyone is kind of copying everybody. I mean, but that's how I think the music industry goes through these big waves. Like, and then there's little nuggets of originality. You know, I think Kendrick is pretty fucking original. I think
that's what I'm saying.
I think there's a few guys that are super original.
Yeah, like,
you know?
J. Cole, he's dope. You know what I mean?
Anderson Paak, Anderson Paak. Yeah, like he's him. Super he's, fucking
yeah,
original.
Dope. He's dope.
I feel like there's a clique of guys that are extremely original that do stand out. But yes, there is a sea of people that kind of sound similar.
Yeah, it's like a sea of people. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I'm all about longevity.
Yeah.
Whoever I feel like gonna be around forever. I want to work with him.
That's who you want to fuck
saying?
With.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Who was
Lil
the
Wayne
artist?
Is around forever. He's been around forever.
Yeah, he'll never
and
go
I
away.
Work with him, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's about, I want to position myself around people that is here to stay. You know
right.
what I mean? And I've
right.
been doing my thing for a long time. So I'm trying to do and work and build with people that are trying to do shit for a long time too. Not just the, I'm doing it right now. I'm doing
right.
it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
let's see what's going to be happening down the line. You know what I mean?
I think that comes with intelligence. I think people don't know, like, you know, a lot of the greatest artists are extremely intelligent. You know, someone like Lil Wayne, I remember when Wayne was with, when he was a Cash Money kid, you know, and he was a different style when he was young. He was so different, you know?
He didn't even cuss.
And
that's what people fail to realize, too. He didn't even cuss
right.
when he was young. You know how smart you got to be
a rapper and not
cuss?
Cuss
words?
Like, it's impossible.
Yeah,
it's impossible. That is one of the hardest things. We admire that in comedy. Same thing. Yeah. You know, there's guys like Jim Gaffigan and there's comics that are very clean, quote unquote, you know, Seinfeld. There's guys that are pretty clean for the most part and they don't cuss. And it's impressive. That's a hard way to write because saying fuck or saying shit, saying cuss words sometimes emphasizes whatever the fucking point
yeah,
was.
Yeah, it sounds good. Like, motherfucker.
Yeah,
like,
it sounded great.
It just sounds like, man, you feel it. You know what I mean?
It's true. It's true.
But
there's so much emotion in swearing.
Yeah.
That's why I swear when I perform.
You know what I realized, though? No offense, but white people, y'all know how to cuss people out without even cussing.
Yeah, like how?
Like, just professionally, like, you imbecile. Like,
you
just,
fool.
Yeah, like, you, like, y'all, like, it's just like, it's just dope. Like, just
so
to be
if, because if you cuss me out,
I would have to cuss.
Yeah, you dumb motherfucker, right?
Yeah,
you'd have
like,
to say
I would have
that,
to
right.
cuss. Like,
but if I cuss you out, I'm just like,
yeah, you would probably use a bunch of aggressive,
right.
intense words that I couldn't really understand or process,
right.
but
right.
it would just sound like, oh, shit. Like,
you unperceptive imbecile.
Yeah, like, you know
you
what I mean?
Foolish clown. Yeah.
yeah like.
That is so funny. That's
like, that's
true.
That's a new wave, like, cussing people out without cussing.
Yeah. White people cuss people out without cussing.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like,
we're trying to be polite and mean at the exact
yeah,
same time.
Yeah, like, that hurts people even more, too.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's meaner for some reason.
yeah,
fuck
like,
you is easy to say.
Yeah,
but
that's what I'm
but
saying.
When you have a smart dig at someone, it's even more harmful, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
like.
That's true.
Yeah, that, like, it's that dope.
Is very
like, intelligent.
True.
Like,
it is, yeah. Well, beating people with your brain is a lot. It's
man,
a lot harder to do.
That's what it's about, man.
It's a lot harder to do. So, hey, are you going back out on the road or you have tour dates and stuff that you want to plug and promote and all that shit?
We got some dates. Unannounced, but we are back on the road.
Going
I got
out.
Some shows coming up.
Great.
We got a lot of stuff coming up. We're doing a lot of festivals.
Are you doing solo? Are you doing any solo
shows? Yeah, I got
shows?
Some solo stuff popping up.
Yeah, that's
yep.
great. Here in LA, or are you going to be out on the road?
LA.
Great. You yep. want? Do you know what they are yet? Or check a website or any of that shit? Or what do you
I'll
want to
I'll be
say?
Posting them on my Instagram,
okay,
on
good.
My socials. Follow me, GED Gator on Instagram.
We'll tag and all that stuff so everyone can see what
yeah.
you're up to, because that's great, man. I really do appreciate you coming around and talking shit for a little bit. And I hope the show goes. I hope it goes and then we can work together. And if it doesn't, we'll work together and do some other shit.
You already know what it is, man.
Right?
We're going to be grinding every day, getting every dollar,
that's
getting
exactly
educated
right.
daily.
All right.
Me and
get,
my boy
Get at Gata,
Santino.
Man. That's right. Get at Gata, GED Gata on Instagram. I'll post all that stuff. For me, you know, it's Cheeto Santino, AndrewSantino.com. This weekend, I am in San Antonio. So come the fuck out tonight and tomorrow night. I'll be in San Antonio. And at the end of February, I'm up in Idaho, end of March. I'm in Arizona. You can check out my website, AndrewSantino.com. Thank you so much for coming. I
lit!
Appreciate you.
My boy Lit!
It's whisk.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers? Oh, hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Thank you.